From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, unable to get Congress to help stem the flow of illegal immigration, President Trump has proposed the idea of sending illegals that the administration is forced to release to sanctuary cities. Would this force Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats to the negotiating table? We'll talk about it with Texas Congressman Brian Babin in just a moment. Also, on Friday, after nearly 2 years of being blocked by lower district courts, the president, his policy reversing the Obama administration's transgenderism in the military was allowed to go into effect at least until it is fully litigated. Our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin is here later to address the overreaction from many on the left. I'll also ask him about the suggestion that the Trump administration's designation of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps as a foreign terrorist organization today as setting the stage for war with Iran. We'll talk about that with him as well. And last week, we briefly talked about Senator Kamala Harris, her HEART Act, Help Extract Animals from Red Tape Act. Now, this bill gives abused dogs forever homes, according to Senator Harris. And this comes on the heels of the Kitten Act, a measure calling on the USDA to stop euthanizing cats and making sure they are adopted. Now, this from political leaders that cannot see fit to outlaw infanticide. What is behind this city, promotion, I guess I should say, of animals over people? Is there a problem with this growing trend? We'll discuss it with David Clausen, Research Fellow for Religious Freedom and Biblical Worldview Studies here at the Family Research Council. And my plan is to go to the phone lines later and take your calls. But before I jump to my first interview, I'd like to invite you to join me and my family this summer as we vacation on a cruise to Alaska. July the 7th through the 14th, I'll be there, and we'll be bringing along several of FRC team members, like former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, General Jerry Boykin, and Ken Blackwell. We'll have a great time together, and you'll get an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at what is happening in Washington, D.C., plus a great opportunity to get away and see just how beautiful Alaska really is. For more information, go to TonyPerkins.com. You can follow the links there on the website. All right, President Trump on Friday proposed the idea of sending illegals that have to be released to sanctuary cities where he says they should be welcomed. Listen to what the president had to say.
We'll bring them to sanctuary city areas and let that particular area take care of it, whether it's a state or whatever it might be. California certainly is always saying, oh, we want more people, and they want more people in their sanctuary cities. Well, we'll give them more people. We can give them a lot. We can give them an unlimited supply. And let's see if they're so happy. They say we have open arms. They're always saying they have open arms. Let's see if they have open arms.
Well, to drill down more on this idea is Congressman Brian Babin, who represents the 36th District of Texas, and he serves on the Science, Space, and Technology Committee, as well as the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. Congressman Babin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, great to be with you, Tony.
So, is the president onto something?
I think he is. I think the president has, he's a problem solver, and it's hard to understand why Democrats are so upset about his idea to release illegals into these sanctuary cities, because as you know, and everybody out there, that the position of the Democratic Party is that illegal aliens held by ICE should be released into our communities.
Right.
And when the government shut down a few weeks back, the Democrats' negotiating position during that shutdown was to limit the amount of beds that ICE would have to 35,000. And we all know that it was for the explicit purpose of forcing the Trump administration to release these aliens into our communities. And so now they're upset about President Trump, Tony, offering to do exactly what they've asked for. It defies logic. And you know that many major cities in the United States under the Democratic leadership have adopted law enforcement policies for the very purpose of giving sanctuary to illegal aliens. And among them, New York City. Mayor de Blasio wants to give free health care along with sanctuary from laws that apply to citizens, and so they don't. It won't apply. Ironically, it'll apply to citizens, but not to the if people are here illegally. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, the cat's completely out of the bag now. She is advocating illegals vote in elections, and the governor of California. He wants to make the entire state a sanctuary state. So I ask this question, why are they upset? And I think the answer is the same as with so many Democrat policies. Good for you, not good for me, and that's pure hypocrisy.
I think you're absolutely right, Congressman Babbitt. I think what the president is doing here is calling their bluff. They're trying to make the president look as if he is not compassionate, not caring, and they're they are the guardians of compassion. Now, we have about 178, as of last month, we have 178 sanctuary jurisdictions. That's cities, counties, and even some states. So, I mean, they're the ones that have set the table for this. The president is saying, okay, you set the table. I'm going to serve it up.
Well, it's the hypocrisy of the thing that really, I think the American people can see it. It's written all over it it's okay to do this and dump people out of buses that are coming in overwhelming numbers into Texas and New Mexico and Arizona. All of a sudden, when you want to put them in San Francisco, in these other sanctuary states and cities like New York as well, and even Houston, I hate to say, has now become a sanctuary city. This is when they start squawking. If it's good enough for the goose, it should be good enough for the gander. And when these people come in overwhelming numbers, I mean, like we had 76,000 come in February illegally, and then we had over 100,000 in March. And these are just the ones that we apprehended. We don't know. It's probably far higher than that. We're well on track to be over 1 million by the year's end. And that kind of gets you back to the Democrat position about wanting to count in the census every single person in this country, including illegal aliens. And you think that each of us as a Congress member represents about 750,000 people, and we're on track for over 1 million. So we've got probably close to 2 congressional districts coming in illegally per year. Over a 10-year period of time, you've got 20 new congressional districts that are going to be counted in the census. And who's going to get those seats? These Democrats are not stupid. They know exactly what they're doing. They know these people. They want them to vote. And they overload our system. We have to educate them, incarcerate them, and medicate them. And so it's a huge drain on the taxpayer a dime, and also many of these people are not nice folks. We've seen many atrocities. I've talked to some of these angel families, and it's unbelievable what they have had to experience at the hands of someone who's not even supposed to be here.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Congressman Brian Babbitt of Texas, my guest, discussing the president's proposal that those who enter the country illegally, that the administration is forced to release, that they be released into sanctuary cities. Now, Congressman, when you look at this flow, I mean, it's intense, and it's the president has repeatedly said this is a crisis on our border. There are people dying. There are people being trafficked. There are all kinds of things happening. But the flow is increasing. Is that to suggest that people are trying to get across the border before the president's successful in getting it closed?
Absolutely, Tony. The word travels fast among these people. It goes all the way down into Central and South America, and they know when the welcome mat's out. They know that if they come this way, all they have to do is bum rush the border. We've got loopholes and catch and release, which is the leadership of the Democratic Party absolutely refuses to acknowledge that there's a crisis, and so they won't help us to reform these loopholes, and so we're having more and more and more of these people coming in, flooding our system, overwhelming us. And we've seen the professionals, Secretary of DHS, the Department of Human of the the border security folks, ICE, they've all said that the system is on the verge of collapse. And if we continue with these types of numbers, we're going to see our country collapse as well. I fear that.
And I know we all support legal immigration, those that want to come and play by the rules, and we welcome them to come into the country and be a part of what America is and can be. But it's hard when you get off on the wrong foot by breaking the law to get here. And our system, as you said, is not only overwhelmed at the border in terms of, you know, people coming in, but also our system of assimilation is broken. And that's a bigger part of the immigration reform that needs to take place, because we can't have people coming to this country and not becoming a part of the country. That doesn't work.
Well, when you have that many numbers, when you have millions coming in, they don't see the need to assimilate. They have their own parts of town, parts of the state.
You can't maintain a country like that.
You cannot. There's a uniqueness about America that is precious, that is irreplaceable, and we are the greatest nation that's ever existed on the face of this planet, and nobody has lifted humanity to higher levels than Americans have. And I've got nothing against immigrants. My goodness, we're all children of immigrants. In fact, one of my sons is married to a young lady from Brazil who is a naturalized American citizen. And so we love immigrants, but you have to do it. And we are a nation of laws. You have to do this legally. And if you don't, you've got mass chaos and destruction and the loss of our country. And I fear that this may happen. And I know the president was in my district just last Thursday on another issue. Of course, this was here in East Texas, from Houston to Louisiana is where my nine counties are. And I talking with him and riding with him in the limousine, as a matter of fact, this was one of the greatest issues and his greatest concern. And I told him, I feel the exact same way. We've got a 22-point-something trillion-dollar national debt. We've got, Russia and China building weapons. We've got a lot of issues that we face. But I tell you, I think the most dangerous one that we face is the open borders with the possibility and potential for terrorism, for criminals, and overwhelming numbers that simply just dilute our country and the unique culture of America. And we want them to come in and assimilate. And in those numbers, they just simply have a hard time having the incentive to do so.
And this is the first president that is holding the line saying we're going to fix the problem. And I applaud the president for being willing to take the political heat to do that. Congressman Babin, we're out of time in this segment. I want to thank you for joining us and always appreciate your insight.
Hey, God bless, Tony. Thank you.
All right, Congressman Brian Babin of Texas. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You know, for those that might not remember our history, America, known as the melting pot, that's where immigrants come, but they become a part of one. Out of the many one, that's America's history. But that's not happening today. As he said, the numbers so overwhelming that there's no assimilation. And you have this fragmentation of America. Country cannot long exist like that. All right, coming up next on Friday, the Trump administration finally allowed a policy from the commander-in-chief on transgenderism in the military. We'll talk about it with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin next. Don't go away.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values Voters to restore our our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right, on Friday, after nearly 2 years, President Donald Trump's policy as it pertains to transgenderism in the military took effect. Now, this was an 11th hour decision, unilateral decision, I should add, by the Obama administration on their way out the door, to allow for, essentially push onto the military, transgenderism that would force the military to recruit, provide for the medical treatments, including the surgeries for those that want to and that have gender dysphoria, that want to transition from one gender to the next. Well, the president saw through this as a waste of resources, and as he also heard the report from his military leaders, a big distraction from the military's mission to fight and win wars. Joining us now to talk about this, as the left has overreacted, is our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Executive Vice President here at the Family Research Council. Now, General, I know there's no surprise that the left has been almost hysterical in terms of their reaction to this. But explain exactly what this new policy would do.
Well, first of all, it would not toss out anybody that came in under the Obama policy there of allowing transgenders to serve. It would not toss them out. It would also not stop their treatment that they were promised when they enlisted. Now, what it would do is it would bar people that have been diagnosed with gender dysphoria from entering the military from Friday the 12th on. They cannot come in the military if they've been diagnosed with gender dysphoria. The other thing is, if they come into the military and then all of a sudden they decide that they are transsexual or transgender, then they are not going to be able to serve. For example, if you're a male and you think you're a female, you're not going to be able to serve as a female. You must serve in your biological gender. So this thing has been hyped a great deal, and I think as our own Peter Sprigg has pointed out, and here there's still some things that are not well understood about this whole thing, but fundamentally it means that you cannot come in the military today and serve if you have been diagnosed with gender dysphoria or you have determined that you are transgender. You still have to serve in your biological gender.
Now, this policy is based upon a six-month, I believe it was a six-month review done by the military under the Trump administration about the impact that such a policy would have, and this was their recommendation.
It was their recommendation, and I think it was actually longer than 6 months. I think he came out with his he certainly announced his policy by tweet in, I think, in July of last year. And the Defense Department took until March to actually finish this and publish the report on this study that they did. And this is exactly what they recommended. And look, this was done with certainly with some Obama leftovers there in the Department of Defense that were not enthusiastic about any change in the policy, but they were part of the study as well. So this is what was recommended.
This is not the the last word. The matter will still be decided in the courts as it's been litigated. But what had occurred is that you had four district court level suits against this, and you had these district court level judges, nearly unprecedented, that they tied the hands of the commander in chief, saying that the policy could not go into place until a court decision had been reached. The president's team went to the Supreme Court, all the way to the Supreme Court, and they are allowing the policy to go into effect until there is a court decision. I want to move on to another topic, General, that has come up today. I believe it was Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced that the Trump administration would designate a portion of Iran's military as a foreign terrorist organization. Some are suggesting that there's something behind this, that the Trump administration is doing this in order to make a military move on Iran.
That's foolishness. That's absolute foolishness. Look, I am so pleased and actually proud that America has taken the lead on designating the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC, as a terrorist organization. That's exactly what they are. And if you want to know where all these enhanced IEDs came from that killed and maimed so many Americans on the battlefield in Iraq and Afghanistan, it came from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC. And these people are terrorists, and they should have been designated a long time ago, and nobody had the courage to do so. And the whole idea that Trump is doing this so that he can make a case to go to war with Iran, do you really believe that? No. No. He does not want to go to war with Iran. If we're forced into it, obviously, he will, and he'll put his best foot forward. But look, our president is not doing some bait and switch here to where he is drawing people into, you know, trying to make them comfortable with the idea that we've got to go to war with Iran. And I tell you what this is about. This is about discrediting this president and calling into question his stability and competence as a commander-in-chief. I think this is just foolishness.
What will be the practical effect of this designation?
Well, it makes it much more difficult for businesses, international businesses, to deal with the IRGC. See, the IRGC is a huge organization in terms of their holdings, and you know they own a lot of the infrastructure within Iran today is actually controlled and owned by the IRGC. They actually are investing in big businesses and big corporations and that type of thing. So it makes it much more difficult for our allies or anyone else to you know, make deals with the IRGC or do business with them. And I think that's the whole objective of what he's doing here, is to put them in that position.
All right, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Glad to be with you, Tony.
All right, folks, still more Washington Watch to come. Kamala Harris, Senator from California, coming out with her HEART Act last week, wanting to make sure that abused dogs have forever homes. We see also the Kitten Act, designed to do something very similar. But yet, the same party has a hard time saying they want to end infanticide. What's going on with the elevation of animals over people? We're going to talk about that next. Is there something underlying here that we need to look at? David Clawson joins me next year on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage that's peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, where Tony and leaders on the Hill and other culture influencers weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand-up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, after voting against cloture for the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act in February, Senator Kamala Harris is now promoting a bill to protect survivors of dog fighting. Now, on Monday, Senator Harris took to Twitter to declare, that was last week, dog fighting a despicable crime and promote her bill to help survivors of dog fighting. Quote, dog fighting is a despicable crime. These animals bring us so much joy, and we can and must do more so that survivors of dog fighting find their forever homes. My bill, the Heart Act, would help ensure this. End quote. Now, I 100% agree that that's despicable, and we should do everything we can to care for animals. But, as I mentioned, February 25th, Harris was one of 44 senators to vote against cloture on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Infanticide. It's despicable. In fact, it should be a crime. But we're seeing increasingly the Democratic Party, in fact, there was another measure just a couple of weeks ago on the Kitten Act to call out the USDA and that they could not euthanize cats that were used in any kind of testing, and those cats had to be adopted. USDA actually complied voluntarily, and I think there were 12 cats to be adopted. Well, why do we see this elevation of animals over people increasingly in this country and in our culture today? Joining me now to talk about this is David Clawson, FRC's Research Fellow for Religious Freedom and Biblical Worldview. David, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you, Tony. Good to be back.
David, are you alarmed by this as we see increasingly a major political party that has no qualms about, you know, advancing the well-being of animals over the well-being of children?
Well, absolutely. It's incredible, Tony. You look at what these Democrat politicians, especially these Democrat senators, many of whom are running for president, You listen to what they're saying. You read the bills they're proposing, the Kitten Act, the Hard Act, bills that would protect kittens and dogs. And then you realize these are the same people who less than 2 months ago went to the floor of the United States Senate and blocked a bill that would have protected babies who survived botched abortions, which does happen. It's incredible. Like you just said, the moral hypocrisy is stunning. It's just a moral vacuum. They're saying we need to protect animals who can feel pain. We need to find them forever homes. We can't abandon them. Senator Merkley, Democrat from Oregon, a couple weeks ago, talked about the horrific treatment that we must put an end to. And the quote you read from Senator Harris, that dog survivors of dog fighting, we need to help them find forever homes. There's so much outrage and concern to protect animals, and it's just impossible to ignore this double standard and the hypocrisy. They want to protect animals, which is a fine thing to do. It's like you said, it's never okay to abuse animals. But the idea that an animal is worth fighting for, that the Democrats with a straight face can ask us to protect Spot the dog, but they're not willing to lift a finger to protect newborn babies, it's unconscionable.
Well, David, usually when we see something like this that is so blatant, and I think rightfully so, calling it out as hypocrisy, but there's usually something else behind it. There's a spiritual truth here that I think we've lost our way, and a part of this is the failure to recognize that human beings are created in the image of God. Animals are not, and there's a big difference, and Scripture points to that, history points to that, and that has always been a distinguishing factor in how we treat animals and how we treat people.
Absolutely. I couldn't say it any better. Like you said, I love dogs. I love cats. I grew up with a cute dog named Ginger. I think it's obvious that we should care about animals. And the Bible does speak about caring for animals. There's a well-known verse in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 10, and it says, "The righteous care for the needs of their animals." And even in Exodus, Moses says, if you see even your enemy's donkey in a hole, you should help the donkey out. So the Bible's clear. We need to respect animals. I think even last week he said, you know, a dog's a man's best friend, but children are our future. And the Bible teaches that. It teaches that every human being, irrespective of race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, physical ability, IQ, every person is made in the image of God. And that's because that means every person has inherent dignity and value. I went to seminary, and, you know, theologians can debate exactly what it means to be made in the image of God. But they all agree that it means that we are somehow more like God than anything he created, whether that's our ability to have rational thought, our ability to relate and communicate with one another, our free will. But the clear teaching of the Bible is that God created us human beings to have a special relationship with him, and part of our responsibility as his image bearers is to exercise responsible dominion over the rest of creation. But as far as the moral hierarchy goes, human beings are in the top position. And the last thing I'll add is Jesus himself taught this in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 26. He's right there in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. He tells his disciples to look at the birds of the air, how they neither sow nor reap. They don't have to gather into barns because your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he asks the question, don't you know, are you not of more value than them? Mm. So animals are important. We should care for them. But when it comes to assigning moral value, there is no comparison between a human being and an animal.
Yeah, absolutely. David, thanks so much for joining us. As always, great to talk with you. Folks, we're going to continue this conversation on the other side of the break. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This is Washington Watch. I am Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. By the way, we're going to go to the phones here in just a moment. I want to continue this conversation. This trend that we see of elevating the welfare of animals over the welfare of people, does this bother you? Are you concerned about this and where it may be leading? Give me a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. I know a lot of people watching what's happening with the cathedral in Notre Dame burning. I mean, that's really tragic when you think of the art, the history, the architecture. I know a lot of folks focused on that because so much being lost with that fire. I've had a chance to travel different places and see some of these great works of art and history, and it's phenomenal, and it reminds you of, the place that we, the little spectrum that we hold in history. I'm just kind of a history buff, and I like to see the preservation of history and stuff like this is obviously very, very disturbing. But speaking of disturbing things, David Clawson has stuck around through the break. David, I was just reading that last week in the book of Jonah, the concluding verse in chapter 4 of Jonah. Jonah upset that, God spared Nineveh. And God, said to him, he said, "And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left," speaking of children, "and much livestock." God is concerned about animals. You talked about, you quoted the verse from Proverbs. Jesus speaks to the care of animals. We have a responsibility of creation care. We're to be good stewards. That includes natural resources. That includes the environment. That includes animals. But I think the scripture is very clear. We're never to elevate animals to the status of people, nor are they to be on the same par, nor are they to be above people and what we should do to aid human beings in recognizing their unique intrinsic value because of whose image they are created in.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Tony. We are now, as Christians around the world, entering into Holy Week as we're getting ready to celebrate Easter on Sunday. And what are we going to be celebrating? We're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And why was it necessary for Jesus to come, to live a perfect life, to die for the sins of the world, and then ultimately to be raised? It was because God so loved the world. He loved people. And it was people that Jesus came to save and to rescue. And so, you know, we need to absolutely, it's great to support dogs, and, you know, it's good to co-sponsor the Kitten Act. But if you're not also championing the Born Alive Protection Act, your morality is seriously inverted, and that is very problematic.
I think when you look at the Kitten Act and what they're doing, it should give us pause, because I think that it speaks to a greater issue. And I think we wouldn't be dealing with the abuse of animals if man were in his proper relationship with God. And as we have removed the idea that man is created in the image of God and therefore given the responsibility by God to be good stewards of all of his creation, we have literally moral chaos. And we have animals being abused. We have children being abused. We have the breakdown of order as a result of losing that one element that man is created in the image of God.
Absolutely. There's no greater doctrine in the Bible than the doctrine of the Imago Dei, that we are actually, as human beings, we are image bearers of God. And again, that means irrespective of race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, we bear the divine image. And that means every single person deserves respect, deserves dignity, and has value. And my goodness, that includes the preborn child who is the most vulnerable among us.
And it, as you pointed out, and I want to emphasize this, this is every human being. Doesn't matter what zip code they were conceived in, what side of the border they were conceived in, it does not matter. They have value. Now, we have laws, and we have we know what is best for individuals in society. History makes that clear. The scripture, transcendent truth, makes that clear. But every human being is worthy of respect because of whose image they are created in. David, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I think this is a topic that, you know, people laugh about it because it does on its face. The conservatives laugh about it because it's just I don't know. It's like you say, it's filled with hypocrisy. It's easy to lampoon. But I think we have to pause at times and take a look at the underlying causes of this. And I think that's very important to do as believers. So, David, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Tony.
All right. David Clawson with the Family Research Council. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, going to go to the phones now, 866-372-7234. You know, are you concerned over this trend of elevating the welfare of animals over the welfare of people? Is that a problem for you? Let's go to Mike in Missouri. Mike, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, I was listening to your program a while ago. I listened to it at work a lot on my radio, and you pretty much nailed it a while ago with the answer. The problem we have, and it relates to about every problem we have in this world today, is pretty much people have become godless people. They've rebelled against God. They decide they want to be their own God, and they don't need God. And that's why we have all those problems we have in the world today. You know, it's a result of being a godless person, you know.
Yeah, and so then we have to create all these laws to try to deal with the problem that was created because we refuse to recognize the lawgiver himself. And you know, the solutions really are quite simple, hard to get at because of the fallen nature of man, but really quite simple. And it's a return to the truth. Mike, thanks so much for listening. Appreciate you listening, even at work. 866-372-7234. Let's go to California where, is this Brianna? Brenna?
Brenna, yes.
Brenna, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I agree completely with what you've been saying, and I thought David Clawson, I think it was his name, said it just perfectly. It's very interesting to me that this is coming up at almost the same time, meaning the Kitten and Dog Act, as the you know, non-vote for the Born Alive Infant mm-hmm. Protection Act. And I just appreciate the fact that you bring all this up so much. I really appreciate it. Because when you listen to the mainstream, in quotes, media, you definitely do not get truth.
Right.
So I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Brent. I appreciate you listening and for calling in. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. That's the number. That's FRC Radio. All right, let's go to Mississippi, where Jeff is on the line. Jeff, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, sir.
What do you think? Are you concerned about this trend of elevating the welfare of animals over the welfare of people?
I think that this topic is kind of like the one you just talked about, and pretty much almost all of them. It's either, you know, some of these folks are probably misguided, perhaps young and not really dialed into life. I don't know. Some of them, I think, have got to be at least backed by what we used to call the fifth column. And some must either want to be just trying to destroy Western society, America, mankind. I'm not sure, but it's just sickness. It's out and out destruction of society between trying to force people that can't be successful in battle for a couple of years, if ever, to be brought into the military to, you know, making sure that the federal government spends money dealing with adopting cats and dogs and doesn't do anything about babies. It's just so many things are so ludicrous all the way around.
Yeah, the world's upside down. It really is.
Yeah, and it's trying to kill itself.
Yeah, well, left to its own devices, it will. Jeff, thanks so much for listening. Appreciate you your calling in. Look, I want to be very clear. I love animals. I have them. I have all kinds of animals, dogs, cats, chickens, goats. And I think we're to be good stewards of all of that. But I think again, we should take note of this. It's easy to laugh at. And believe me, we've had a number of rounds of jokes around the table as we've discussed these things around the conference table. But the underlying reason for this, and I think, you know, I think Senator Harris and others, I mean, I think they're well-intended. But it is a loss of a basic understanding of creation. And it is this idea that we're all descended from, you know, this, you know, by accident. We're just all here. And we just all came from one another in terms of animals, one cell, multiplying in this primordial slime. Well, that's not how it happened. And when we lose the fact that we are created in the image of God, it affects, it sees it, you see the result of that in our policy. All right, let's go to Don in Lexington, Kentucky. Don, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, this concept is coming from the deep, deep state, the elitist. What they want to do is to get us to the point where we are feel like we're no better than animals. That will affect the way that we'll be treated. That will affect our actions. That will affect our spiritual life. I wish Christians, I'm a Christian now, I wish Christians would get in touch with the Lyndon LaRouche people. They have the answers to all this. They've been fighting this for 60 years. And this is one of the main concepts to make us feel like we're no better than the animals. And we'll accept any kind of treatment, won't we? That's the purpose.
Well, Don, I appreciate the call. I think that certainly the left is exploiting this, and they're the ones that are advancing it. But I think it is a loss of, again, going back to the very basics as a believer, as what the Scripture says, that we are created. And by the way, the view that we've held for the vast majority of this country's history, that, you know, we were created in the image of God, that there was a creator. And therefore, people have respect, are deserving of respect. Now, we've not always gotten that right. We've gotten it wrong before when it came to slavery. and we've gotten it wrong as it come as it pertains to abortion today. But I believe if we continue to pray and to educate and to advocate, that we'll get it right on the issue of life. But I do think that we've got to be aware of these trends of you know, basically saying people and animals are the same. Because I do think, to the point that Don's point, that that's right, that this could lead to all kinds of outcomes. All right, let's go to quickly work in a couple more calls here. Let's go to Floyd in Nebraska. Floyd, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I'm a Christian, and I believe that God created us in his image. But these leftist people and this cat and dog thing, they've become fools. They think that they're wise in what they're doing, but they have actually become fools. And I don't see how they can even live with themselves in their own reasoning. It just doesn't make sense at all.
Well, Floyd, Floyd, you're not alone, and a lot of people would see this and say, this is just crazy, it's nonsense. But remember that, you know, there's a blindness that comes to when you deny the truth, when you won't recognize that God is the creator. There's a spiritual blindness that descends, and that's what I think gives way to the foolishness of the wise. Those who hold themselves out to be wise are turned into fools. Because they refuse to acknowledge God.
Yes, yes. I think that we have to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
You know, because that's the only way that we can do it, is to have faith.
Absolutely. Floyd, we're out of time. I want to thank you for calling and listening to Washington Watch. And I want to finish on that point that Floyd made. You know, there are, and I actually spoke about this yesterday in a message that I was preaching. You know, this is the week, the Passion Week. This is leading up to the Good Friday, as we recognize Jesus' death on the cross and then his resurrection on Easter, what is called Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And that message has to go out. It is that is the freeing message. When people are brought back into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and that's the only way it happens. And Jesus came to this earth on a search and rescue mission, not a search and destroy, but a search and rescue. And our call as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, is to do the same. Now, we see what's happening around us, and sometimes we get angry, frustrated, but we can't. We've got to stand up. We've got to speak truth. We've got to speak it in love. But it does come down to understanding and having that relationship with God and accepting the truth. Because once you deny God as the creator, there is no telling where you can end up. And what we see around us today is evidence of that fact. Folks, thanks so much for joining us. Sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls, but Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow, and I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.